We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9 this morning, Daniel chapter 9, 1 to 19, as we finish up our series, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And we are actually on day 14 of 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And if you need that calendar, that schedule, just go to bayarea.church/live, click on 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting, and you'll see the schedule. Our reading today is Psalm 133. Our ask is that you would push away from the table one meal each day. Take your Bible into a place alone, your prayer closet. Shut the door. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Read along with us. Pray along with us as we're seeking the face of God in this season. Well, this third message from Daniel chapter 9, 1 to 19, I would title, What Can We Expect from God in Response to Our Prayer and Fasting? What can we expect from God? And I think it's a good question, a question that we need to answer this morning. As I think about it, when we come to this passage of Scripture, we see the people of God in exile. It's a difficult situation in that they have been really ousted from their land, the covenant land of God, taken out of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is now desolate. The temple is abandoned by the people of God, and they're in exile in Babylon. And when I hear things historically and even presently like exile, like war, like plague, like pandemic, my gut says it is a great opportunity. It is an important opportunity to return to God, to repent, to run to Him for refuge and rescue and bank on His promises. Now, in this text today, Daniel actually grasps from the words of the prophet Jeremiah, he grasps some clarity on the timing as to which, the prophetic timing as to which God will restore the temple in Jerusalem and restore the people out that are in exile currently back to the land and back to the holy city of Jerusalem. And as he comes to that understanding from reading God's word, he begins to pray. And I think there's some things that we can learn from Daniel's prayer today. And I also see that we can learn from how God responds to Daniel's prayer about what we can expect in the way that God will respond as we pray and as we fast. So Daniel chapter 9, 1 to 19, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. In honor of God's word, and let's read this scripture together. Daniel chapter 9, 1 to 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us, open shame. As at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away and all the lands to which you have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame. To our kings, to our princes, and to the fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us. because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us by bringing upon us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight from by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and all your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O Lord God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. You can be seated. Now, we're going to look at this passage in two sections. This is a rather long passage of scripture. We're going to look at it in two sections. The first part is simply Daniel's prayer and what we can learn from it. And there's three parts in his prayer. The first thing that Daniel does is he worships. Now you have to remember, he's coming to God in a moment of exile. So they are not in their land. Things are not as they should be. In Jerusalem, at the Temple Mount, it is desolate. It has been set up by Antiochus Epiphanes, an abomination that causes desolation. It said that pigs were slaughtered on the Temple Mount at that time frame, and it has become desolate. The people are exiled. So this is a bad moment, and Daniel prays from Babylon, and he prays first giving worship to God. So he's got some big hopes. He's got some big dreams. He's got some big requests of God. He wants to see God take the people out of exile and back into the land. And he comes to God with prayer and fasting. This is exile. Now, we are not the people of Israel, but we are serving as the people of God, the same God. We're grafted in through Jesus. And today in the 21st century, we are in the midst of a global pandemic, And over it in sovereignty is God. And why is this taking place? Certainly, I don't know the answers to all of why it's taking place. But one thing I do know, when you have something as obvious as a global pandemic, God is saying to us in our desperation, when things are not as they should be, that we should return to him in prayer and fasting. And we should do it like Daniel did. He begins with worship. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 9. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So here's what we learn of Daniel instantly. He's read the prophet Jeremiah. He's gained some wisdom that comes from God. He begins to understand that it's possible that the Lord is bringing them out of exile and will soon bring them back into the land of promise. And he comes before them on his behalf. He comes before God on his behalf and on the behalf of all the people. And it says that he turns his face to the Lord God. So he literally takes his face and and centers his attention on the covenant God. And this is where we need to find ourselves, centered in our attention with intentionality on the covenant God. He says he seeks him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, this sackcloth and ashes thing shows that Daniel approaches God in deep concern and deep humility. Like, he realizes that God is sovereign over all of this, that God has made some promises that are true, that God is awesome, but Daniel is just Daniel, and Brian is just Brian, and you are just you, and he comes to God in sackcloth and ashes. That means that he just takes off every bit of fine clothes that he may have, and he puts on the worst, itchiest kind of cloth, and he puts ashes on himself, and he humbles himself low before God. So he turns his face to God intentionally, and he approaches God with deep concern and humility, and he makes confession. He appeals to God's mercy and to God's own description of himself. Now, the bottom part of verse 4, it says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God. Now, which great and awesome God are we talking about? We're talking about the one who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So Daniel here is appealing to God's own word out of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. He's appealing to God's self-description. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So Daniel is going back to the book of Deuteronomy, to the law of Moses, and he says to God, Look, you are the God who keeps covenant. You do not break your promise. And you keep steadfast love, that kind of love that always pursues, that's in your face, that never goes away. No matter what the people do, you keep your steadfast love for those who love you and keep your commandments to 1,000 generations. He cries out to God in humility and worship. And this is where we find ourselves today, brothers and sisters, friends and family. This is a moment where we need to cry out to God in worship, in prayer, and fasting with deep concern and humility in hopes that the people of God will return to God and that God will return and restore us in the ways that we need restoration. Now, here's the second thing that we find in Daniel's prayer, and it's just this, it's confession. We find it in Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 to 15. And while I won't read all of 5 to 15, let me just list what Daniel says as he confesses. He says, We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. We have rebelled. We have turned aside from your commandments. We have not listened to your prophets. And he's speaking for the people of Israel nationally. He's not just saying, I have sinned. He is saying, we have sinned. And he confesses in these ways that we've sinned, we've done wrong, we've acted wickedly, we've rebelled, we've turned aside from your commandments, we have not listened. And I would say maybe the same thing is true of the people of God generally in these days. Maybe we have sinned. Maybe we've done wrong. Maybe we've acted wickedly. Maybe we've rebelled. Maybe we've turned aside from the commands of God. Maybe we haven't listened to the words of God. I'm not saying these are the things that caused this global pandemic, but I am saying this global pandemic is a moment that we as the people of God need to pause and consider our own lives. We collectively need to confess our sin, and we need to cry out on behalf of the people groups that we represent, because we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly, we have rebelled, we have turned aside from the commands, we have not listened to your prophets. In the United States of America, we have more access to the word of God than any people group in any time in history. And yet we do not listen. Well, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, this is like an Old Testament thing. People get this mixed up. God hasn't changed. Now, it is. We are talking about the Old Testament. We are talking about the Hebrew Bible. And the Hebrew Bible, when you look at sort of the pathway to God, what you see is law, the Torah, 613 commands, and obedience. So we have the law and we have obedience. And because we can't obey all 613, then eventually we have sacrifice, the killing of animals. In the New Testament, though, it's not law and obedience, it's love and obedience. And because we can't obey even out of love, then we have Jesus who dies on a cross to save us from our sins, the ultimate sacrifice, the final lamb that would be slain. But the thing that is common in both the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament and in the New Testament, even though we have law here and sort of love here, and we can see the love of God in the law, and we can see the law of God in love, actually, but what is common is obedience and obedience. And we have not listened. And Daniel was echoing this same human problem among the people of God, to God in his prayer and his fasting. And he contrasts what belongs to God with what belongs to the people of God. He says, God, what belongs to you in this is mercy and righteousness and forgiveness, but all that belongs to us in the midst of this as people who have rebelled and done wickedly and have sinned and haven't listened is open shame. Open shame. And so he finds himself exiled in Babylon, in sackcloth, in ashes, before God, in prayer, banking on the promises of restoration and appealing to God. Now, the third part of Daniel's prayer here, we find in verses 16 to 19, is simply intercession. So he has now worshiped God in his prayer and fasting. He has confessed the sins, his own sins and the sins of the people of God. And now he's interceding on behalf of the people. And here's what he asked for. Maybe these are some of the same things we should be asking for in our time of prayer and fasting now. He asked for these things. He says, turn your anger and your wrath away from us. Turn your anger and your wrath away from us. You know, the blessing that comes to the people of God from Aaron is let your face shine upon us. Be our peace giver. And yet in this moment in exile, Daniel believes the wrath of God, the anger of God is pointed toward them. And he's begging, turn your anger and your wrath away from us. He asks, God, listen to my prayer. Listen to the prayer of your servant. Hear my prayer. Then he appeals to that blessing. Make your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. In other words, restore the people of God to the city of God and let us worship at the temple of God where your presence will be with us again in the city of Jerusalem. Make your face shine there. Not that we're children of wrath, but now that we're your kids in your presence, we're children of God. Daniel cries out that he would open his eyes. God would open his eyes and see the desolation and the city called by his own name. And finally, Daniel says, do not delay for your name's sake. So here, this intercession is on behalf of the people, but it appeals to the glory of God for the name of God. And maybe we should intercede these same ways even today. Even as we confess our sin, now maybe we need to ask God, would you let your face shine on us? God, see this desolation. See the difficulty. See the suffering. And let the people of God rise up in it. Let your face shine on us. Don't delay for your glory, for your namesake. And so we find Daniel's prayer looks like this: worship and confession and intercession, both personal worship and worship on behalf of the people, both personal confession and worship and confession on behalf of the people, both personal intercession and intercession on behalf of the people. This is what we can learn. This pattern is what we can learn from Daniel's prayer. But my favorite part of all of this section of scripture is how God responds to Daniel And God's response to Daniel is a good indication of what we can expect of God in our own prayer and fasting. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 20 to 23, here's what it says. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, "O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." So in Daniel's case here, we learn some clear things. First of all, simply put, God will hear our prayers in times of prayer and fasting, and he will answer them. He will hear and he will answer. Now, Daniel receives a message from the angel Gabriel, a visitation from the angel Gabriel. I will say to you, although it's not impossible, that you will likely not receive an angelic messenger from your prayer and fasting. Why is that? Because you live this side of the cross. Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is not an angel, but is a spirit of God, the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will hear and he will answer. And this is the same thing that happened to Daniel. As he cried out in worship and confession and intercession, the Lord heard him and brought answer. Now, what of this answer? Well, here's what we learned. The answer will be characterized by God's purposes on his timetable. Hear this one really well. This answer will be characterized by God's purposes on his timetable. Now, we can't always understand God's purposes. And many times, his timetable is different than our own. Sometimes we just simply want to pray like, "Lord, make this pandemic stop in Jesus' name," and we expect a light switch moment. And God could do that. But the reality is that God is working for the glory of God and the good of humanity, and he's going to answer our prayers according to his purposes on his timetable. Now, this is what happens to Daniel. We see it in verses 24 to 27 of chapter 9. Says this, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and a moat, but in a troubled time. And after 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood. And to the end, there shall be a war. Desolations are decreed. Now, I'll read one more verse, verse 27. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Now, for those of you that are like prophecy fanatics, you want to dig deep into the prophecy of this. And this is not my purpose this morning. My purpose instead is to show you that the purposes of God, he's made a promise that Jerusalem will be restored. Daniel has read about it in the book of Jeremiah, and he's crying out to God for the restoration of his people and the restoration of Jerusalem. And the answer that he's getting is it's going to happen according to God's purposes on his timetable. It could be immediate, but it's not necessarily going to be immediate. Relief. Not necessarily going to be immediate, in Daniel's case, deliverance from exile. In fact, restoration is coming, but maybe not even in your lifetime, Daniel. See, this is a very different time table. You have to understand that God is way beyond and above our 80 years. He's way beyond and above even what we can imagine related to history. He's above time and sovereign over everything. And he's working his purposes on his timetable for his glory, for the good of humanity. Daniel chapter 9, 25 again. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and rebuild and build Jerusalem to the coming of anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. And then we get 62 weeks and then another week. And it's all this timing. But it's not Daniel's timetable, I bet. I bet that Daniel is praying and hoping in that moment in exile that it will come swiftly, that it will come soon. In fact, his prayer is, do not delay, but it's going to happen according to God's purpose on his timetable. Think about this for just a minute. Not even Jesus, the Son of God, not even Jesus received immediate deliverance from suffering, but went through the suffering to fulfill the purposes of God and the glory of his name. And it was all on God's timetable. I mean, Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, 38 to 39, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. This is Jesus praying right before his crucifixion. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. He says to his disciples, remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And this cup, according to the scriptures and according to history, did not pass from Jesus. He was crucified. He was, from this moment in prayer, arrested, tried, crucified, beaten. All of it. He went through all of that suffering. He did in his humanity, did he want to be delivered from the suffering instantly? Yes. But he yielded to the glory of the Father. He yielded to God's purposes and his timetable. And we follow him. We follow Jesus. And if he trusts God's purposes and timetable, we also must trust God's purposes and God's timetable. So here's what we know from Daniel's prayer. Here's how God acts. He hears and understands. And then the second thing is that he answers, but the answer's characterized by God's purposes on his timetable. And here's the third thing that we can expect from God, and we see it in Daniel's, as a result of Daniel's prayer and fasting here, is that reassurance comes from God about what is promised and true. Reassurance comes from God about what is promised and true. So in chapter 10 and chapter 12, we're going to find this, that God says to Daniel, fear not. Don't be afraid. In the midst of exile, Daniel, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. He says that he hears him. Over and over again, we hear, I hear you. Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard and I have come because of your words. So Daniel is being reassured by God himself. Look, I hear your prayers. I understand your fasting. I see your countenance. I hear the worship. I hear the confession. I hear the intercession. I heard it from the first word. You are loved. And every one of you in Christ, because of Christ, if you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved, but you're not just saved from hell. You're changed. You're not just rescued, but you're made a child of God. And you are loved just like the scripture says that Daniel is loved. Your prayers are heard just like Daniel's prayers are heard. Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. Not only do we get reassurance, but God reminds Daniel of promise. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, He says to Daniel, but go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Now, this is pointing to the fact that Daniel just needs to, as he moves forward and waits for what God's going to do in according to the promises and his covenant and his steadfast love, he simply just needs to go forward and walk with God. And the promise for Daniel is you're going to rest and stand in your allotted place at the end of days. In other words, there's a time coming. This is alluded to in Daniel. It's clarified in the book of Revelation. A time coming where there'll be no more tear, no more crying, no more pain, that King Jesus, the anointed one, will rule and reign in a new Jerusalem. And Daniel, according to Daniel chapter 12, will stand in his allotted place at that time, meaning his life will be eternal, and he will be there to see all of this come to fruition. That is the promise. And so what can we expect from God? When we pray and fast, he'll hear us, and he'll answer us. But secondly, that answer will be characterized by God's purposes on his timetable. And thirdly, he's going to reassure us in his steadfast love. He's going to reassure us of what is promised and what is true. That's how we can expect God to respond to our prayer and fasting. So what about this global pandemic? How long is it going to last? How bad is it going to get? We don't know the answers to those questions. Everybody's trying to figure it out. Every day I see a different graph, a different timetable, you know, based on different countries and situations and all of that. But the truth of the matter is we don't really know how this is going to play. But we do know this. As people of God, we understand that we can trust God, that he is hearing our prayers, that he is going to work for restoration of the entire, of all things, the entire world according to his purposes for his timetable, and that we can bank on his promises, that he's going to remind us of his promises. He's going to reassure us of his promises. Those of you that have been in the Word these days, maybe more than you have been in a long time, as you read the Psalms of Ascent or as you read in other places of Scripture, you're seeing his promises come to life and you bank on them. I see your responses to it on social media. You're claiming him as your refuge, your rock, your shade, your strong tower, the place that you're going to find shelter and healing and restoration. You're saying it out there. Why? Because those promises are reassuring that you're trusting God, and you know no matter what, his purposes for his glory and for the good of humanity are going to play out, because he has made promises and he does not break his promises. He's good and he's holy and he's working toward the restoration of all things through his son, Jesus. Now, how should you even respond to a message like that? Well, first of all, I think that we as people of God in Christ, we should celebrate the fact that he hears us, that the sovereign King of the universe hears us, that he answers us, and that he reassures us according to his steadfast love and his promises. We should celebrate that. We should thank God for that. We should worship him because of it. We should remain in this posture like Daniel is, of worship and confession, of intercession. Get alone every day in your prayer closet and pray and worship and confess and intercede. Ask big things of God for the entire world. This is astounding. And we're not just talking about one people group that's going through something. We're talking about the globe experiencing a pandemic all at one time. How will our great God use that for his glory? How will lives change for eternity? It's happening. People are turning toward him. Pray, brothers and sisters. Worship, intercede, confess, and expect God to respond. This week, today's Palm Sunday, kind of marks the beginning of the entrance into Passion Week. Passion Week is that time that we remember first, Jesus riding into Jerusalem, fulfilling a Zechariah 9:9 prophecy that showed that he was the Messiah. We remember his prayer in Gethsemane. We remember his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion. And then ultimately on Easter Sunday, we remember and celebrate his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of the Father and all of his promises that say he's coming back again, that he's making everything new. And maybe, just maybe, two things need to happen. One is you need to admit that you're a sinner just like me, that you need to confess Jesus as the Lord, the sovereign King of the universe, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Maybe you haven't listened. Maybe you have sinned. Maybe you've done wickedly. Maybe you've rebelled just like Daniel's prayer. The only one that can change your destiny from open shame to being a child of the King and standing in your allotted place at the proper time by his side. The only one who can change that destiny is Jesus. And it's only found in confessing him as Savior and Lord for the forgiveness of sins. But many of you, maybe you have already confessed Jesus as Lord. But maybe you need to continue in prayer. Why would you stop praying after 21 days? When we come here on Easter Sunday and we celebrate, that would be the end of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. But you continue. One of our takeaways from the great pandemic, which is what I think it will be called, even as people call the Great Depression, I think as history looks back on this, it will be called the Great Pandemic. One of our takeaways from the Great Pandemic as the people of God should be, if the people of God are too busy to pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then God will eventually clear their schedules. And so, people of God, let's always be a people who pray and fast and seek his face and repent and turn from our wicked ways and ask him, pray for him to heal our land, to keep his promises. God is at work. I think the best place for us to join him in that right now is in our prayer closets. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And let's ask the Lord to speak in just a moment of silence. Oh God, we ask that you would not delay in bringing a halt, a hard stop to this pandemic for the glory of your name. But Father, we yield to your purposes and your timetable. And as we go through this suffering and difficulty, God, teach us deep things of you. Help us to rely on you. God, I pray that the Church of Jesus Christ globally would burn hotter and burn brighter for your glory than ever before. That revival would come. We confess our sins. We confess that we have not listened. And we ask, God, would you bring mercy? By your Spirit to the globe. And may the whole world know your Son, Jesus. I'm not surprised that this is happening at the time of the Passover. Your timing is always perfect. God, point the world to the risen Lamb of God. In its desperation, give them hope in Jesus. Restore us, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.